Are there any other announcements that need to be made at this time? If not, let us prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Please stand as and join me in our call to worship found on the screen and in your bulletin. When God created the world with a word, this word followed from God. When Jesus was baptized by John, he rose up out of the water, and a voice was heard to say, as we gather together with the assurance of God's love, acceptance, and favor, we pledge to extend these gifts to all others as well. You may be seated. You may remain seated as you join me in our prayer of confession. Lord, even though we have heard of your accepting love, we have been tempted to believe in our most private thoughts that we really are more special to you than perhaps those who are in some way not like us. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to be about your command to love one another truly and not just love those who remind us of ourselves. In Christ we pray. Amen. Jesus knows our every weakness and loves us still. Awaken to the promise of Christ's amazing grace. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Now, would you please stand with me and turn to page 881, or will it be on the screen? It will be on the screen as well. And join me for the affirmation of faith. Let us unite in this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We come to that part of our worship service where we have an opportunity to pray together and to pray in behalf of those who are going through difficult times and difficult challenges. I'd like to ask that you pray for a couple of friends of mine. I have a good friend who's a minister in the North Texas Conference. His name is Gene Wisdom. Gene Wisdom, and he has cancer, and he is on hospice now. So please keep Gene Wisdom. He has been a United Methodist minister for probably about 40 years, as long as I have. I'd like you to keep in your prayers a dear friend of ours who is lives in Ruidoso. Her name is Maury St. John. And Maury is in the care of hospice as well. She has Alzheimer's. So please remember Maury in your prayers. And I want to encourage you also to fill out a prayer card, and if you will put those in the back, because I would be happy to pray for all of our needs. And one of the things I like to do is ask for unspoken concerns. Not everyone feels comfortable expressing a concern, but if you have an unspoken concern this morning that you would like us to recognize, would you raise your hands at this time? Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. I also want to remind you to please pray for our nation and pray for us as we face this coronavirus together. This has been one of the most challenging things that we've ever had to face as a nation. Please pray for our leaders and pray that our leaders might have the wisdom and insight to make the right decisions, not just for a few, but for everyone. And pray for our church also. We're experiencing a lot of transition, not just with the COVID, but also between pastors. I know this is an anxious time for a lot of us, but remember, the source of our calmness is Jesus Christ, and he can calm that anxiety just as he calmed the storms in the Sea of Galilee. So we don't have to be anxious as long as we know we're in Christ. So let's remember that. Let's join together in prayer as we approach the throne of grace. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, We are overwhelmed by your acceptance of us and your grace. You accept us for who we are, as we are, how we are, and where we are. You know everything about us, and still we're fully and eternally accepted by God in you. Lord, you know our failures, our fickleness, our foolishness, and our faithlessness, and yet you totally accept us through Jesus. When we confess our sins, we don't inform you of anything you don't already know. In fact, we're probably only aware of 3 or 4% of our actual sins. It's absolutely overwhelming to be this known and this accepted by you, Lord. But here comes the difficult part, Jesus. As you've accepted us, you call us to accept others. And sometimes those others are very different from us. They may not agree with us about a lot of things. We may not agree on politics. We may not agree upon theology. We may not agree upon the right course of action in our church. And Lord, we pray that you might help us to accept others as you accept us. We need all the grace that you promised to love like that. For there are a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ with whom we disagree about many things. Lord, help us to come together and to learn to agree to disagree. And help us to accept others as you have accepted us through Jesus Christ. Jesus, we need a bigger gospel heart and more gospel wisdom if we're going to make headway in this calling. So help us to show kindness without compromising our convictions. Please teach us the difference between essential and non-essential matters. And please show us the difference between acceptance and acquiescence. Free us from the limitations of our perspective, the prejudices of our heritage, and the insecurities of our comfort zone. And Lord, please free us from insincere niceness and the need to be right. Help us to remember that your promise to bring to completion the good work you began in us also applies to each of your children. Burn the conviction indelible into our hearts. It brings you praise when we work hard at accepting others, even as you have accepted us. Lord God, we lift up to you all these prayer concerns that were mentioned this morning and those who raised their hands. We pray that your grace might prove sufficient to each of these needs for us through Jesus Christ, who teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 1 through 11, and this is taken from the New Living Translation. I believe it's on the screen for you to follow along. This is the story of the woman accused of adultery. And would you follow me in the reading? And if you're able, would you please stand for the reading of the Word of God? Now, reading from John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. But what do you say? They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, Woman, where are your accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
She's a sinner, an adulteress. She's going to be punished according to the law.
Take her to the master.
Master.
Yes, master.
Shame on you.
No.
Shame.
Pray.
Stone her. Stone her.
Master, what should we do? This woman has been caught in the act of adultery. She should be punished according to the law. What do you say?
Answer, Master. We want to know your opinion.
Yes, tell us. Is it right to kill her?
He among you who is without sin, let him cast the first stone.
Come on. Where are your accusers? Is there anyone here who's condemned you?
No. No one.
Then neither do I condemn you. Go. And sin no more.
Before I begin this morning with the sermon, I want to mention several people have inquired about the listening parties. I've had three listening parties so far. We've had about, well, I guess between 20 and 30 people. And if you would be interested in me having another listening party, I would be glad to do that. You can call Karen Underwood at the church office here, and we can schedule another listening party. So just let me know. And if you don't feel comfortable being in a group, I would be happy to talk to you individually and get your take on our history. So just either call Karen or if you would, let me know. Today I'm beginning a sermon series of seven sermons on the ABCs of spiritual vitality. The ABCs of spiritual vitality. The next few weeks we're going to be exploring some of the components that can help make for a spiritually vital life with Christ. Today we're going to begin with the letter A for acceptance. And acceptance is just another word for grace. Grace is the foundation for all the Christian life. It's a foundation for all the components. And so it's very important. And that's why we begin with the letter A for acceptance. So the next few weeks we'll be exploring the spiritual components of a life of spiritual vitality with Christ. Let's join together in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In 1850, Nathaniel Hawthorne, one of America's literary giants, wrote his magnum opus, The Scarlet Letter. Now, perhaps you read it in high school. Some people believe that our gospel reading this morning may have partially inspired The Scarlet Letter. In both stories, we find a woman accused of adultery. But each of these stories is more about accusation than adultery. When it becomes a story about accusation, it not only involves the two women, it involves all of us, for all of us stand guilty of accusations. It may be less an accusation of others than an accusation of ourselves. However, the greatest letter A of our text today is not the accusation the Pharisees brought against the woman. The greatest letter A is the word Jesus speaks to the woman. Acceptance. Acceptance. Jesus asked the woman, "Where are your accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you?" "Neither do I condemn you." Those words are for the woman. Those words are for you. Those words are for me. "Neither do I condemn you." The Apostle Paul put it like this in the book of Romans. "Therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life is greater than the law of sin and death." Jesus reminds us in the 6th chapter of John, "Whoever comes to me, I will in no way cast out." There are no preconditions for acceptance. We're accepted for who we are, as we are, how we are, and where we are. There are no preconditions. That's the power of God's grace reaching out to us in Jesus Christ. God's acceptance of us is the letter A of our text. Well, there are three implications of God's acceptance of us that I would like to briefly explore this morning. And if you'd like to follow along, there should be a sermon outline printed in your bulletin for your convenience. And if you're watching at home by Facebook, you should have received a sermon outline earlier this week by email. I invite you to fill in the blanks. Consider what God is saying to us about His acceptance of us and how that acceptance should affect how we relate to others and ourselves. So let's begin then with the first implication of God's acceptance of us. First of all, because God accepts us, we can accept Jesus. First of all, because God accepts us, we can accept Jesus. "Neither do I condemn you." Jesus accepted the woman. Jesus accepts us. Acceptance. We hear it, receive it, and are invited to respond to it. But how do we respond to it? God reaches out to us in Jesus Christ. That's the deep acceptance of God for us through Christ. You see, it's God who accepts us. Acceptance for acceptance. Mutual acceptance. Acceptance for acceptance. We don't condemn ourselves, but more than that, we don't condemn others. You see, when you hear the word of the text, "Neither do I condemn you," then you hear the other word of the text, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." What we see then is that God accepts us. And we're able to come into that spiritual vitality with Jesus Christ. You see, God has already accepted us, and we are invited to accept Christ in response. Because God accepts us, we can accept Christ and live in spiritual vitality. Because God accepts us, we're able to accept Christ and live like Him. So you see, because God accepts us, we can accept Jesus. And that's where the whole Christian life begins. But that brings us to the second point, the second implication of God's acceptance of us. Second, because God accepts us, we can accept others. Second, because God accepts us, we can accept others. God accepts us. This is foundational. When you stand on this rock, what you do is drop the stones. The voice we need to hear is the voice of acceptance. Christ's own voice, which speaks to our hearts. That's the voice that we need to hear. And you see, God doesn't condemn us. So why should we condemn others? Because God accepts us and God doesn't condemn us. Why should we condemn someone else? We shouldn't. God accepts us, and we also should accept others. We should also accept others. You see, God accepts us so that we might pass that grace to other people, so that we might share that grace with those who are not in our midst, and also with those that we encounter. So we need to remember that, that because God accepts us, we need to accept others. And that grace is poured out upon us so that we might do so. You know, we're called to exercise judgment in life, but that doesn't mean that we become judgmental. We live in a world filled with differences, but we don't let the differences lead to divisions and the divisions to derision. We choose not to go there. We don't go there. We drop all those stones. And because we drop the stones, we know that God accepts us. And because we drop the stones, our hands are free to embrace others and speak those words of acceptance to others, words that are powerful. Can you remember when you first heard these words of acceptance? I care about you. I believe in you. I trust you. I want the best for you, even though you're different from me. I affirm you. I forgive you. Can you remember the power of hearing those words in your life by people who spoke those words? Well, folks, whether you realize it or not, we are invited to be a people who speak those words. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, we read, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. We're invited to be a people who speak fruitful words of acceptance to those who are close and to those who are far and even to those who are different from us. We're invited to be a people who know we're accepted and who in that acceptance share that same gift with others. You see, because God accepts us, we are empowered to accept others. We need to pass that grace on to other people and not just keep it to ourselves. And that brings us to the third and final point that I want to make about God's acceptance of us and how that should be translated into our relationships. Third and finally, because God accepts us, and this may be the most difficult point, because God accepts us, we can accept ourselves. Third and finally, because God accepts us, we can accept ourselves. Let me ask you a couple of questions. When was the last time that you beat yourself up about something you said or something you did? Or you said, I wish I'd said this, or I wish I'd done that. Or I wish I hadn't said this, or wish I hadn't done that. I wish I'd stood up here, or I wish I'd stepped back there. I wish I'd spoken up here, or I wish I'd kept quiet there. When was the last time that you sat back and had regrets and analyzed yourself and accused yourself? Self-accusation. Self-accusation. Or let me ask you this question. Have you ever spoken these words in your mind to yourself? Have you ever said to yourself, I'm not blank enough? I'm not blank enough. Go ahead and fill in the blank. I'm not smart enough. I'm not fast enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not young enough. I'm not clever enough, popular enough, thin enough, pretty enough. I'm not whatever enough. Have you ever spoken those words in your mind to yourself, I'm not blank enough? Well, you know, the theme of those words is, I'm not enough. I'm not enough. Have you ever spoken those words of accusation to yourself where you pointed the finger of accusation at yourself, where you threw stones at yourself? Well, let me tell you, guilt and shame give us plenty of stones to throw at ourselves. And we often do it so well because we've often done it for so long. And you know, we learn to throw those stones early because we've had others throw stones at us, and we own them and use them. And the stones that we throw at ourselves and at others are often words, aren't they? They're often words. You know, that old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, aren't true. They aren't true. Words can hurt, and words can leave lasting wounds. And the spirit of accusation that lives in our lives is a giant letter A, which is a burden for so many folks. But the good news is that God accepts us. This is foundational. When you stand on this rock, what you do is drop all those stones. You drop all those stones. You see, if Jesus doesn't condemn us, then how can we condemn ourselves? How can we listen any longer to those false voices of guilt and shame which drive our lives when Christ has accepted us? Now, let's be clear about something. That's not to say that we don't listen to the voice of conscience, that inner voice that would be our compass into the greater life in Christ and those healthy and holy values that God has for us in Christ. But the voice we need to hear is the voice of acceptance, Christ's voice which speaks to our hearts. So let me ask you this morning, have you heard his voice today, the voice of acceptance? Well, in conclusion, God's acceptance of us makes three things possible. First, it empowers us to accept Jesus. Second, it empowers us to accept others. And third and finally, and most importantly, it empowers us to accept ourselves. Whoever has the ears to hear, let that one hear what the Spirit says to the church. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts for this morning's communion. And I invite you, you should have an insert that you can follow along, or you can follow along on the screen for the responsive readings. And let me remind you, you should have received a small cup as you came in. You will partake of communion from where you are. We're just practicing physical distancing by doing that. And you might want to start opening that cup up so that when we get to the actual partaking of the bread and the cup, you will be ready. So I go ahead and invite you to do that. And let me remind you, after the worship service, if you would discard your cup back in the trash receptacle in the back. Let's join together in our great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. It is good to give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so, with your people on earth and the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Now would you take the bread, the body of Christ, which is given for you. As he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. The blood of Christ poured out for you. Amen. Let's join together and offer thanks to God for this communion sacrament as we pray together. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Before we have our closing music, I always like to give an invitation to Christian discipleship. And while I realize that you can't really come down, I would be happy to talk to you after the service. If you have a prayer concern and you would like me to pray with you, I would be delighted to do that. But I want to give you a special invitation today. I've been talking to you about grace and about God's acceptance of us. If there's anyone here who has not experienced that acceptance of God through Jesus Christ, I invite you to make that commitment this morning. If you've never made that commitment, I would be happy to talk to you about that and have a prayer with you after the service. And then for those of us who have made that commitment, who do know what it is to be accepted by God, I want to challenge you to pass that acceptance along to others. You remember that old song, Pass It On? That's what we're called to do. We have freely received of God's grace, and we're invited to share that acceptance with others. And you know, that begins right here in our church. I know the last 2 years have been very difficult. I know there have been some divisions in the church. There may be even some people who won't hardly talk to each other. But this is the time to set that aside and to forgive and accept others who may disagree with us, even as God has accepted us. All of us are beggars before the throne of grace. Every one of us. And we all stand in need of God's forgiveness. And he wants us to share that forgiveness to others. I'm going to be talking to you about this a little bit more in a sermon in a few weeks on forgiveness. But today I want to talk to you about acceptance. And I encourage you to accept others who may not think like us, who may not agree with us, who may not look like us, who may not even live like us. But we're called to be accepting because Christ has accepted us. And then finally, I know that there are some of us here who carry around a burden of guilt. We have a hard time accepting ourselves. Let me tell you, if you are in Christ, Christ has already accepted you. And Christ wants you to accept yourself, even as he's accepted you. Can you forgive yourself? I invite you to do that today, because Christ has forgiven you. So I want to extend that invitation to you as we sit and listen to our closing music. I want you to reflect upon the message today and what Christ may be calling you to do. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see.
Before I give my benediction and blessing, I want to express my deep gratitude to Sharon and Craig, who spent many hours here yesterday. And Sharon was here for 10 hours, okay? 10 hours, and I don't want her to do that again, okay? But I really appreciate that, because she made it possible for us to have the PowerPoint and the video. Thank you very much, Sharon and Craig, for all your time. Really appreciate it. Now, would you receive the blessing? Go forth as God's grace-filled people. As you go forth, may you share that grace and that acceptance in all of your relationships, in your family, with your husband or wife, with your brothers or sisters, at the workplace, at the bank, wherever you encounter people, may you share that acceptance of God with others and accept them even as Jesus has accepted you. Freely you have received, may you so freely give. Amen.